Well, I would like to bid you all a very warm welcome to the house of the Lord tonight. It's great to see each and every one gathered in the Lord's house this evening. And we pray the Lord will bless us as we come around his word and as we worship him, and maybe worship him in spirit and truth. We're just going to open our service tonight by committing our time to the Lord in prayer. So we're going to seek the face of the Lord this evening and ask for his help this evening. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, we just take this time, Lord, to still ourselves afresh before thee. We acknowledge, O God, what a privilege it is we have to bow in thy thrice holy presence. Lord, we are nothing but finite fallen creatures of the dust, and yet, O God, through the Mediator and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come into thy holy presence, O God, none making us ashamed. We can come with boldness into the throne room of grace and prayer, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for thy many mercies and blessings to us, Lord, both physically and temporally and spiritually, enabling each and every one of us to be here tonight. And we just pray, dear God, from the very outset of this service, that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be uplifted and magnified tonight. We pray with the Apostle Paul, Lord, that he would have all the preeminence in this service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for every young person here, every youth fellowship represented. We thank you for every youth fellowship leader as well. We thank you for journeying mercies to the house of God. And Lord, we just pray for a good time in thy presence this evening. We do pray that thou wouldst meet every young person, every family, every church and youth fellowship at the very point of their need, dear God. Lord, thou wert able to meet us at the very point of our need. And Lord, we do pray that we would know a special sense of thy presence this evening. We do think of those, Lord, going through difficult circumstances and experiences. And Lord, we would remember afresh this evening the Crawford family circle. We do remember, Lord, our brother David McCauley and his dear wife Rachel, this congregation. That, Lord, thou wouldst minister unto their hearts tonight and the wider family circle. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Samuel, a man who was saved and loved the Lord and is with Christ, which is far better. But, Lord, may that testimony even speak to those of us who have been left behind and challenge us to live for Jesus Christ. May that be the challenge to every young person here tonight in this worship service, Lord. We pray that thou wouldst undertake for every aspect of this meeting tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those of musical accompaniment. We thank you, Lord, for those in the sound. We thank you, Lord, for those welcoming everyone here. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst help me, Lord, even to lead the service tonight. Bless the Brown sisters as they would minister in song. Bless Miss McLeod as she will come and bring a report, and our brother Ryan Moore, Lord, as he will bring the announcements. Bless him, Lord. We think especially of thy servant, the Reverend Park, tonight, and the great responsibility, Lord, that he has to handle thy word. We thank you, Lord, for his many years of faithful service, Lord, especially in this congregation. And Lord, I pray that thou wouldst help him tonight and hide him far behind the cross and fill him with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we would remember tonight those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We think, Lord, of the situation in Ukraine. We just pray for this desperate situation, Lord, that, Lord, thou wouldst intervene. Protect thy people, Lord, who are seeking to be a witness for thee in that country. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking to bring aid out to the border countries, Lord. We just pray that thou would get to those who are in need. And Lord, we just pray that we would see a resolution to that conflict sooner rather than later. Lord, we thank you that we can come to thee, the one who is in control, the one who is sovereign and supreme. And Lord, we thank you that nothing takes thee by surprise. And Lord, we just pray that we would see thee move even in our midst tonight, that there would be signs following, Lord, the preaching of thy precious word. We humbly ask and pray these things in our precious Saviour's lovely and altogether worthy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to open our service this evening by singing of the hymn number 383. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. So it's good to see so many out in the house of God tonight, so we're looking forward to hearing you sing out to the Lord's praise and honour. life. There's a number of people going to take part tonight, and I'm just going to announce them, and they can come up one by one, and then I'll get up again to announce the next hymn. But we're going to have a report, a youth council report from our sister Charlotte McLeod from Resharkin, and then after that we will have our brother Mr. Ryan Moore from this congregation, who is the North Antrim Youth Council representative, to bring the announcements. And then after that we'll have the Brown family. Good to see them here tonight, and they're going to minister two pieces in song. So I'd just like to invite our sister up now.
So as stated, I have been asked to give a brief report, and I emphasize that it will be brief, I promise, just on the bi-monthly Bible studies that we've had, and also the training weekend that's recently come to pass. So I, like I said, was just on the training weekend, and I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed that time just spending with other God's people, and the stuff that I learned was absolutely amazing. So if you've never been on a training weekend before, I cannot encourage you enough to next time it comes around to get your application in, and I guarantee you will be thoroughly blessed as I was. But just to give you an idea of what we did that weekend, we met on the Saturday for some lectures, and in the morning we had the Reverend Colin Mercer. He spoke to us on the reliability of the Bible and also advantages of evangelizing within a presbytery structure. Then after Reverend Colin Mercer, we had the Reverend Ryan McCain, who spoke to us on preparing messages for children, evangelism, and also overcoming barriers that hinder participation in evangelism. Then afterwards, we had Colin Maxwell. He's our home missionary, both in the south of Ireland and in the north of Ireland, who experiences mainly with door-to-door outreach and open air. So it was great to have him and speak to us on experiences in evangelism and also what truths must be understood and focused on for salvation. Then afterwards, we had the Reverend Paul Foster. He came to us and spoke on different important texts that one might use for evangelism if you're in the likes of an open air and so on. He spoke to us on seeking the will of God, which, if you are a young Christian seeking to go on with God, was an amazing subject, and I was thoroughly blessed through that. And he also challenged our knowledge on the Easter story. I think all of us there thought we had a pretty good grasp on just the events of that Easter story, but through his lecture we found that maybe there were some things that we just hadn't quite thought of before, so it was excellent to be there for that. 15 people in total stayed over the weekend. I myself was one of them, and then some more had joined us on the Saturday. So it was an excellent time of fellowship. And like I said, I cannot encourage you enough to go on. Don't let not knowing many people who are going be something that hinders you, because I guarantee you that if you go not knowing anyone, you'll soon leave knowing absolutely everyone there and making new friendships. So it's not something that you're going to have to worry about at all. And then in regards to the bi-monthly Bible studies that have been going on, we've so far have had three that have gone forth. The first one was in September past, and that was led by the Reverend Paul Foster and Johnny Smith. It was held in our Lisburn church, and the subject that night was on LGBTQ culture and as Christians how we might respond to situations that we may be put in where we have to answer questions regarding it and so on. And it was an excellent night. There were so many people who attended that night that in fact it had to be moved to Martyrs and the next time, so it was a brilliant problem to have and it was very encouraging. So rest assured that there's plenty of room for you now, that you may feel free to come along, and we hope that we will. So then the next one after that was in November, and again it was the Reverend Paul Foster and Johnny Smith, and the subject that night was on relationships. And like I said, it was held in the Martyrs Church and was an excellent night. And then the most recent one that has gone past was in February, and it was led by the Reverend Paul Foster and the Reverend Julian Patterson. That night the subject was on baptism, and there was an excellent number there. I think I counted about 80 to 90 people. So it was an excellent night, much was learnt, and I can guarantee you that the next one will be excellent as well. So make a note of this one, whatever way you keep track of dates, whether it's by your calendars or by your phones, keep this in date, that the next one will be on the 26th of March at 7:30, again in our Martyrs Church. The subject that night will be on evangelism, and the speaker that night will be members from our Crown College, who I'm sure most of us are familiar with. So it's going to be an excellent night, and I can't encourage you enough to be in attendance that night. There will be some light refreshments provided kindly by the church afterwards, and throughout the night there will be time for questions and answers and so on. If you've got a question that you've been thinking about, that's the night to get them answered. And then throughout the night there will also be some group discussions and scenarios, so you might be presented, well, how would you react if you were placed in that situation, or how would you respond to someone asking you this question? So it's an excellent time to even just get your mind engaged and to think about these things. So like I said, cannot encourage you enough to be in attendance those nights, and hopefully we'll see each and every one of you out then on the 26th of March at 7:30 at Martyrs Church. Thank you.
Now, please, at this point, whenever you hear its announcements, don't switch off. I know that is the tendency. Whenever you hear someone's coming to do announcements, well, we'll just think about something else for 5 minutes. But thank you all for coming tonight. You're warmly welcomed here in Ballymoney. It's good to see so many here. I feel that Charlotte could just continue, because she was doing such a good job at announcing the bi-monthly rally that I don't even need to continue. She already has announced what I was going to say for the first announcement. She has guaranteed it's going to be an excellent night, so I'm just going to leave it there, move on to the next one. Of course, Castlewellan Weekend has been revitalised, has been revamped, and has been growing and building from strength to strength as past few years. So that is the next one we have, 29th of April to the 2nd of May. Those are the dates. And all of these things that we're going to announce, all of these things that have been mentioned, of course, are on the Youth Council Facebook page. You'll find all the details there. Application forms, all the different things, prices, everything you need to know is all on the Facebook page. So get onto it and you'll find all the dates and so on. So that's the Castlewellan Weekend, 29th of April to the 2nd of May. Just an additional one that won't be there on the Facebook page just yet is the Open Air in Portrush. Of course, every year pre-COVID we had, of course, our Open Air in Portrush at the amphitheatre. And we hope to get that back up and running again this year. The date that we have agreed and settled on is the 16th of July. So it's notoriously the Saturday after the 12th. So 16th of July there in Portrush. Of course, we have the March of Witness beforehand, meeting at Remore Head for 6 o'clock, and then making our way around to the amphitheatre for the meeting to start at 7. So do please bear that in mind as you come along to Portrush that night. As I said, all the outreaches and so on are detailed on our website, on the Facebook page. So if there's any queries, anything that you maybe have switched off for the announcements, just go on there and you'll find everything that you need. The only other thing that I have to add tonight is there is offering baskets. You maybe missed them on the way in. I'm going to draw your attention to them for the way out. Please don't miss them on the way out. We're lifting an offering tonight. The baskets are there for you. All offering that is lifted tonight is going towards the Youth Council project, which of course is the Answers to Addiction booklet by our brother Chris Killen. So do bear that in mind. Please do give generously towards that. And all funds that are gathered will be greatly appreciated towards the publishing of these booklets. Final announcement, you'll be glad to know, supper afterwards. Okay, I for one am glad to hear supper afterwards announced again. It's been a long time coming, and so we have, of course, a bite of supper for you tonight. Please don't rush away. Supper will be provided out in the fellowship area. Please make use of that and spend a little time in fellowship again. As I said before, it's good to see each and every one tonight, and we do trust we have a blessed time here. Thank you. For which you died, an inheritance of nations.
Very much, that was very nice, and thank you for your ministry and song. Now it's the turn for the rest of you now to sing, and we're going to stand and sing hymn 539, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm just going to hand over now to the Reverend Park. He's going to bring us God's word. And the Lord bless you, boy.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Trust that the Lord will bless all that has gone before. Thank you, young people, for taking part, for the reports, for the singing, and for the announcements too. Want to open our scriptures tonight to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. When I was thinking about the meeting tonight, there was something else that was in my mind. And through the night, there was a question coming to me over and over again. And that's what I want to speak on this evening. What is your life? But we will have our reading from verse 13 through to verse 17 of James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We'll bow together just for a word of prayer and look to the Lord now for this time in his word. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we give thanks for a meeting like this where young people can come together, assemble into the house of God, enjoy fellowship the one with the other, listen to reports that speak of the things of God and those matters that young people are involved in. Thank thee for the songs that we've listened to tonight and the ones that we've sung together. And we pray that thou wilt help us all to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. As we come to your word, we're ever conscious that the Bible is a spiritual book. It is spiritually understood. We cannot come to this book without the help of God. Of ourselves, we do not have the capacity to understand the very clear message of God's word. But we rejoice tonight that thou hast given to us a teacher, the blessed Holy Spirit. And we do pray that he will come among us tonight, that he will abide with us, that he will help this preacher in all his weakness to bring the message, granting him wisdom, power, the anointing of God, and for our young people as they sit and listen, that the Lord will help them to give themselves over to the word, and may they feel the challenge of this message tonight. We pray that there will be an impact, a mighty impact, that God will deal with us in these days. So shut us in now for these minutes with yourself around the word, and do us good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's this very short little question that I want you to consider tonight. What is your life? It's full of challenge. It's full of meaning and application. It is a most powerful text that ought to stir your heart and make you sit up just where you are. Make you sit up and think. Young person, we're asking you personally the question, what is your life? Right now, as you sit where you are, I want you to answer that question. You have youth on your side. You have vitality. You have potential. You have the possible future to live out many, many days in this world. What is your life? An older person, and there are a few older ones, youth leaders, bus drivers, whatever you are tonight, what is your life? James answers this question by the inspiration of God, because he's writing under inspiration. And as the question is put, what is your life? He gives the answer in these words. It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. a vapor, he declares in the answer. A vapor is not very substantial. The illustration is very powerful. It's very common. It's thought-provoking. Every one of us, we see the vapor appearing. Maybe on a hot day when it's rained, you see the vapor rise from the road, or the kettle gives off the vapor, just vanishes into the atmosphere. And James is asking us to consider here the fragility of life. What is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we know that only too well, don't we? And we just need to think about what happened Tuesday week ago. And young Samuel Crawford, 28 years of age, and his life was cut off in the prime of life, really, taken out into eternity, thank God, to heaven, so quickly, unexpectedly. Whenever I was growing up in our Portadown congregation, there were young men. We went to church together. We served the Lord together. We were in our teens. And there was a young man called David Greenaway. We had John Gray and David Smith, myself, and some others. And we grew up in the youth fellowship together. And one night, traveling to a meeting, he was coming to Portadown to get a bus to go to another youth meeting. David Greenaway lost his life at the age of 16. Tragically, unexpectedly, cut off from the land of the living and out into eternity. A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You do well to consider the heart-searching question of James and the serious answer that he gives, and remember what this little section of the Bible is teaching us tonight. Life is fragile. It's just a vapor. It's brief. It appeareth for a little time. It is removed so quickly. It vanisheth away. And life is also uncertain. We know not what shall be in the morrow. And of course, the story that James is relating here is about businessmen. They have planned to go into a certain city. They're going to buy. They're going to sell. They're going to make money. They're going to get gain, James says. They never took into account so many things that might have happened in their lives. They may have fallen ill. Business may not have gone well for them. They hadn't considered even tomorrow, let alone that whole year ahead, what might or may not happen. And they were boasting in the fact that they're going to buy and sell and make money for the whole year ahead. And God reminds them and reminds us all here tonight, we know not what will be on the morrow. So what is your life? It's a vapor. And that's the answer that James gives. It's a very powerful and challenging answer. But it's not the only answer that we could give to this question. And I want to look at other possible answers to this Bible question. What is your life? And in order to get the answers to our question, I want to put this question to certain Bible characters and endeavor to answer the question through their eyes this evening. And there will be application for you as you sit in the church tonight. Many of you will sense that you are reflected in these individuals that we are going to look at, what you are now, what you are becoming as young people. May the Lord be pleased, therefore, to speak in a most profound fashion to your heart and to mine this evening. I want to put the question, first of all, to a man in the Bible called Demas. Demas, what is your life? You have been a professing Christian. You have come to a place in your life where everybody else thought that you were the Lord's child, a true believer. Indeed, Demas, you were a companion and a fellow laborer with the great apostle Paul. You were involved much in Christian service. We read about Demas in three places in the New Testament scriptures. We have him mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and we have him there with Paul, and he's sending his greetings. It's just as brief as that. He's sending greetings to God's people. We have him mentioned in Philemon, verse 24, and there he is very clearly identified as being a fellow laborer with the apostle. And you know what that means? It means that Demas served the Lord. Demas was a preacher. Demas traveled with the great apostle. And he did those things that those involved in Christian service do. And the third reference is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And I want to just read that verse to you, the opening part of it. For Demas hath forsaken me, Paul is writing here, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It makes horrendous reading, really, when you think of Demas, a professing Christian, one who seems to be serving the Lord, standing with the great apostle in Christian work, a fellow laborer, and yet Paul is lamenting here that this man had forsaken him, had left him in a very difficult period in Paul's life when things were not well with him, and soon he would be martyred for his faith in Christ. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this evil world. It is undoubtedly one of the saddest things that can happen to someone who seemed to start well in the Christian life. And what we read here is often a reflection of some of our young people. They profess to know the Lord. They attend church. They get involved in Christian work. They become fellow laborers with others, going on outreach, maybe even on mission trips, door-to-door work. But soon they turn away from the Lord for the world. And they get involved in worldly things. They drift away from God. They drift away from church. They drift away from the youth fellowship. They drift away from their Bibles and from prayer. They drift away from serving Christ. I ask Demas our question. What is your life? Here at this moment, Demas, in the honesty of his heart, would have to reply, it is a life that has lived for the world. The pleasures of the world, the activities of the world, the bright shining lights of the world, the sins of this present evil world. It is not the place that you want to be. It is not the answer that you want to give. And yet, in all honesty, this is where Demas was, and for all I know, this is where you are tonight, some of you that are sitting in this church building. Was Demas saved? Was he a true Christian? Was he ever in Christ? Was he ever on the road to heaven? Well, one day we will know for sure in the great eternity if we meet him in glory or not. In all honesty, I cannot say for sure. I cannot tell. Many, many years ago when I preached on this character, I referred to him as Demas the backslider. And certainly in my own mind, I saw one who was a preacher, one who served the Lord, one who stood with Paul, and he's turned his back upon it, and he's drifted into the world. And I thought, yeah, perhaps this man is a backslider. However, many of the theologians and the Bible expositors believe that Demas was never saved. And you will read the commentaries and the comments that have been suggested by many of these men. I can remember years ago, I think it was the last mission that Dr. Paisley ever preached, it was in this church, and I asked him the question, where is Demas? And his answer was very simple and very straight. He said he's in hell. I can remember one night asking Dr. Cairns, our theologian, the very same question. Do you think that Demas was saved? And the answer was straightforward, no. I do not believe that he was saved. And he quoted that verse from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that's clear. If you love the world, the love of God is not in you. If the love of God is not in you, then you are not converted. And we think also of what we have in this same chapter of James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's very strong language, I'm sure you will agree. Demas chose the corrupt enjoyments of the unsaved world over the values of heaven. He decided that what Satan had to offer him in this life was much better than what Jesus Christ was offering him in this life and in the life to come. What is your life? Answer the question, young people, tonight in this service. Be honest. Be honest before God and with your own heart. Is it a life that is lived for the world? You find yourself running with worldly companions to worldly places and doing worldly things. You find yourself sitting in some den of iniquity, a nightclub, a disco, some dance hall, some ungodly amusement place. Oh, it ought not to be so. Not if you are truly the Lord's child, washed and redeemed and saved by grace. You know that Jesus Christ died to take away your sin, but he also died to take away your love of sinning. We are to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3 and 2. Where's your affection set tonight? We are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We read that in Titus 2 and verse 12. Do not be like Demas. What is your life? The second character is a female that we read about in the scripture, and that is a lady by the name of Phoebe. And I want to put the same question to her. Phoebe, what is your life? Here perhaps is a word for the young ladies that are in our youth meeting this evening. You're a member of the church, Phoebe, the church at Cenchrea. The Apostle Paul speaks very highly of you. Indeed, he commends you to the church at Rome. He highlights your special ministry and the gifts that you have, for he says that you have been a succorer of many and of myself also. What a blessed ministry to have, to be that encourager, to be that succorer of other people. Phoebe, what is your life? Phoebe perhaps doesn't really want to answer for herself or say too much about her work. I feel that she was a quiet, modest, godly lady, working hard in the background, doing what she could for the good of Christ's body, helping, supporting, caring, encouraging, coming alongside others. That is the kind of a woman that she was. Phoebe, what is your life? Well, maybe she would answer that question very simply. It is a life that has lived for the church. Perhaps that would be her simple testimony. I live to serve the body of Christ, because that's what the church is. The church is the people of God. It's the body of Christ. Just turn for a moment to the passage that mentions her name. It's the last chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 16, and the opening two verses. And here Paul writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. There's a long list of friends and acquaintances given in this chapter by the apostle as he brings this letter to a conclusion. It's the final paragraph of his letter. Perhaps 34 names. I just counted them very, very quickly today. And most of them just get a mention. Their name is mentioned and nothing much is said about them. But Phoebe gets a little commentary. And there's no doubt in the little commentary that is given that we can say she was an outstanding Christian. And that's what you want to be if you really know the Lord. You want to be an outstanding Christian. Paul said, she is a servant of the church. She served the Lord's people. She did what she could to help among the members of the family of God. And though likely she was a woman of substance, she didn't think it beneath her to serve. And that's what she did. Young ladies, I said to you tonight, be a servant. A servant of the church, a servant of the body of Christ. Phoebe had a special ministry as a succorer. The term that is used here is a most expressive term. It literally means one who stands by in case of need. Phoebe was an unselfish, liberal helper of the saints, conspicuous for her works of charity and hospitality. Many people had been recipients of her kindness, including Paul. Paul, as he commends her to the church at Rome, said, you know, she has succored me, she has helped me, she has supported me, as well as many, many other people. Someone has described her as the woman who wore the badge of kindness. Isn't that a lovely way to be described? Somebody would say that about you. That you wear the badge of kindness. By the way, her name means pure or radiant as the moon. And probably in her ungodly heathen background, this name was given to her with connotations to do with the moon. But I'm sure there's many, many applications we can make as we think of this radiant child of God that shone out in her day. We really know nothing of this lovely lady except the brief account mentioned by Paul here in the opening two verses of Romans 16, where we have her name and her service. But that's enough to make her stand out as a great person in the church. I say to you, aim to be like her. Young person, especially you ladies, I'm asking you the question again. What is your life? Are you a Phoebe in the church? You work for the good of others. You labor tirelessly for the advancement of Christ's kingdom within your local church. You are a useful member. You're diligent. You're faithful. You're serving the Lord. You're prayerful. You're working for the good and the well-being of the church. You are an example. Others can look up to you. They can follow you in your steps. They can follow the lead that you give because you're leading right. I trust as young people, you're leading others in the right way and giving that good example that you are indeed like Phoebe. It's a life lived for the church. My third and final character that I want to mention tonight is Paul. And I want to put this question to the great apostle. Paul, what is your life? What can I say about this dear man of God, this most outstanding character of New Testament times, Paul the Apostle, the theologian, the Bible scholar, the soul winner, the missionary, the church planter, the spiritual father, the author of 14 of the New Testament books? Paul, you were formerly a persecutor. You consented to the death of Stephen. You arrested Christians. You desired their death. Paul, you had a marvelous conversion experience. Sometimes the expression is used, have you seen the light? Well, he certainly saw the light in that sense, that the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, there on the road to Damascus when the Lord saved him by grace. Paul, you received a special call from the Lord to be a preacher and a missionary. And you have been used in so many, many ways. God saved this man, and he made him one of the greatest Christian men that this world has ever known, a champion for truth, a missionary of the gospel, a fearless preacher, an outstanding soul winner, a great encourager of others. And you can think of the epistles that he wrote and the exhortations that he gave to others. Would to God that he would make our young people like him in many of these ways. Paul, what is your life? And I know tonight that Paul could answer that question in many, many ways. He could say, my life is one of a preacher of the word. I preach Christ and I preach him crucified. My life is one of a missionary of the cross. I have gone on three major missionary expeditions. He could say, my life is one of an inspired author and writer, writing over half of the New Testament books. He could have said, my life is one of a man blessed with special visions and gifts, and he certainly was. But you know, what I think he might just say, if we were able to bring him up here to the front and stand before you and ask the question, Paul, what is your life? I think he just might say, in humility, I'm a servant of Christ. That's how Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 begins. Paul, a servant of Christ. When you look at the other epistles that he wrote, he either said he was a servant of Christ or he was an apostle of Christ. And that word apostle simply means one that is sent. And he was sent. One sent on a mission. And I would love these two thoughts to characterize our young people today, a servant of Christ and one sent on a mission. That's the way you ought to live your life on earth. Every single one of us tonight, as a servant of Christ and one who is sent on a mission. What is your life? Can you answer? It is the life of a servant, a bond slave to my Savior. I live to do his will. To say with Christ, the ultimate servant, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's how Christ, the greatest servant, lived. As a servant of Christ, it's the way we ought to live, to finish the work that God has given to you and I on this earth, to complete the journey and to complete it well for his glory. My life is conducted every day as one sent on a mission, the great mission, the commission, which is to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants you to live this way. Paul lived to spend and be spent in the service of Christ. He lived to declare the glorious gospel. He lived, as the old general put it, a dying world to save. Souls are drifting downward, down to a Christless and a lost eternity. The gates of hell widen every day to receive the ungodly at their coming. Your unconverted family members and friends are lost in sin, and they are traveling down to hell itself. My question tonight, as we draw towards the conclusion, is this: do you care? Have you got a concern in your heart? Are you moved with compassion? Have you got a burden in your soul? Do you come anywhere near the desire that the great apostle shared when he was writing to the church at Rome? Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that your desire? Is that the prayer of your soul for your people? And when you go back to the previous chapter, Romans chapter 9, and you notice the opening verses there, he says, as he speaks of this burden, this heavy weight that was upon him, as he thought of the loss, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you get anywhere near it, young person? Do you sense and feel that burden in your heart weighing you down like a heavy weight as you think of your family, as you think of your kinsmen, as you think of the people that live in this very country where you and I live? God is looking for preachers tonight among you. He's looking for missionaries to carry the message of Christ to those that have never heard. He's looking for ministers. He's looking for servants of Christ. He's looking for men and women sent on a mission. Will you go? Will you volunteer? Will you lay your life on the altar? Will you say to the Lord tonight, here am I, Here am I, Lord, send me. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. The great missionary C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. What sacrifices are you making? What is your life, young people? What character best describes you? Demas, your life is one lived for the world. Maybe not even converted at all. Or these other two, Phoebe and Paul, servants of the church, servants of Christ, one sent on a mission. I trust and pray that God will speak to your heart and waken you up and do something tonight in your soul that will change your life, and in doing so, change the lives of others that you will have influence over. Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks tonight for your word, for this great challenging text. What is your life? And Lord, these young people have life, vitality, health, strength, energy, and the potential, unless the Lord removes them from this scene of time. And we know that that can happen, and we know not what will be in the morrow. And we know that life is very brief. But Lord, they do have potential to live for your glory, to be a preacher, a missionary, a minister of the gospel, to be more useful in their local church, maybe a Phoebe, serving the church, being that succorer of many, a ministry of kindness to others. Or maybe like Paul, the Lord will do something mighty and wonderful in their lives. Lord, we pray tonight that that will be so. We pray that you'll work with power and grace and conviction. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit tonight in the hearts of all of our young people, and set them on fire, and Lord, make them a blaze that will go through this little land like a mighty fire, to live for God and to be useful in your hands and to bring others to the saving knowledge of Christ, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'd just like to say, young people, thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving your heart over. I believe many of you have, to God's word. If the Lord has spoken, if he's challenged you tonight, if the Lord's been dealing with you in recent days, and we can be of help. We're here. The other workers are here to guide you, to encourage you. Maybe the Lord has a preacher here, a missionary, someone that's willing to give themselves over to the Lord. Come and speak with us, and we'll try to encourage you all we can, give you something to think about, read the Word of God with you. Thank you tonight. We're going to hand back to Stephen.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Park for that very challenging and very clear word to each and every one of our hearts this evening. And may the Lord write it upon our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. We're going to sing our closing hymn, and it is a hymn number 526. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth, ere toil ends at the close of the day. Very thought-provoking and challenging words to sing, and really sing them from the depths of your heart, and search your own heart tonight, young people, what the Lord would have for you to do.
Thank you.
Let us remain standing. We're going to close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our Eternal God, we thank you for everything that has taken place in this service tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the preaching of thy word and the challenge that thy servant has brought to our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that as the voice of the preacher has now fallen silent, I pray that the voice of thy blessed Holy Spirit will take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that every young person under the sound of my voice this evening will be saved by grace and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst take each and every one of us and, Lord, use us in some aspect, Lord, for thy glory and in thy service, Lord. Whether, Lord, that is doing something in the church like media or musical accompaniment, or even, Lord, being called into Bible college to be a preacher or to be a missionary. Lord, there's so many ways in which we can serve thee. And Lord, I pray that every young person tonight here would get the vision and see that, Lord, they have a life which they can give, and that there is a Lord in which they can serve him and love him, and that, Lord, he can use their lives for the glory and honor of his name. Lord, we thank you for this meeting tonight, and we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us now. Lord, bless the food that has been prepared. We thank you for it. Bless the hands that have prepared it. And Lord, may we eat and drink to thy glory. May our fellowship, Lord, with one another be sweet. And we humbly pray and ask, Lord, that as we would take our leave one from the other, that, Lord, you would be pleased to give us journeying mercies home, whether in cars or minibuses or coaches, Lord. And may each and every one of us get home tonight safely. But Lord, may each and every one of us be in Christ tonight. Lord, speak on, we pray, and glorify thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. You can just consider those words of the Saviour as we bring our meeting to a close. And Jesus spake and said unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.